The Dark Arts of Genius, Episode 4. Hello, I'm Robert Jameson, and I'm interested in how we can make the world a better place by unlocking people's potential for intelligent thinking. These podcasts are intended to be useful to anyone who is interested in developing the thinking capabilities that are at the heart of genius. They address what, for many people, is the downright offensive subject of how some people are so much more intelligent than others. If you don't want to take the risk of being offended, then this series is not for you. As I said in previous episodes, the secret of being super intelligent is to rigorously challenge your own prejudices and the prejudices of the society you live in. The number one prejudice that gets in the way of intelligent thinking is not racism, or sexism, or homophobia, or any of the most frequently highlighted forms of prejudice. The most damaging and perhaps the most widespread form of prejudice, I suggest, is conformism. The vast majority of human beings seem to be cursed by the cruel and insidious weakness of wanting, indeed desperately needing, to be part of a crowd, wanting to fit in, not wanting to be unpopular or disliked, not wanting to be an outcast. It is a weakness that utterly cripples many people's intellectual abilities. When deciding upon their beliefs, attitudes, and actions, they refuse to properly consider radical ideas, unpopular ideas, or even ideas which might merely induce a moderately disapproving look when expressed or even implied. Their brains refuse to function when arguments are presented that fail to support whatever happens to be deemed appropriate and acceptable by their peer group, or according to the rules of political correctness in the society they live in. Even for people with stronger personalities, who are often capable of intelligent thoughts, their intellectual abilities are often seriously weakened by their conformist tendencies when particularly controversial or emotive topics are under discussion. It is not just that people are scared of being discovered to be different or labelled as different. They are scared of being different and scared of even thinking differently to other people because of the sense of isolation they feel whenever they see themselves as apart from the crowd. Yet, how can you reasonably hope to make society a better place if you don't question its values and traditions? Are you ever really likely to properly consider new ways of doing things if you never bother questioning the way things are done now? And yet, unfortunately, most people's thought processes are severely constrained by the norms and expectations of the society they live in, with the result that they are dogged by prejudice and unable to think intelligently on any number of issues. Conformism works to undermine intelligence on all sides of many debates. A lot of racism, sexism, and other well-known forms of prejudice in fact stem mainly from conformism. Very often, people discriminate against people on grounds of race, gender, or sexual preference, largely because they seek to conform with the attitudes favoured by their peer group and or those favoured by the wider society they live in, rather than because they have any particularly deep-seated racist, sexist, or homophobic tendencies of their own. At the same time, conformism undermines the intellectual abilities of many other people who are keen to be seen to oppose sexual or racial discrimination, but who themselves are deeply prejudiced because they refuse to intelligently consider ideas which appear to conflict with the rules or spirit of political correctness. Let's consider a simple example to show how damaging political correctness can be, to illustrate how easily it can undermine people's capacities for thinking intelligently. This example concerns a husband and wife who find themselves at the centre of a major controversy and the subject of legal action because they refused to let a gay couple stay in their guest house. They said they could not let a room to the two men, as doing so would be at odds with their religious convictions. They were taken to court over the issue, and, ultimately, their actions were deemed discriminatory and illegal by the courts. They were fined and saddled with considerable legal fees. But should they have been? Should the state have any right to interfere in such matters and deny such people the right to decide for themselves who they will and will not accept as guests in their own home? Whilst many people would argue that such discrimination is clearly wrong and should not be allowed, there is a very obvious and rational counter-argument that, no matter what the rights and wrongs of the decision by the guest house owners might be, they should have the right to make their own decisions on such matters, informed by their own particular moral views. It is a simple matter of basic freedoms. If we value freedom, then surely we ought to allow people to live according to their own moral rules, and not force them to abide by a set of moral rules dictated to us all by the state. In a free society, the state is only supposed to be allowed to restrict our freedoms when it is necessary to stop us harming or restricting the freedom of other people. If gay people were so discriminated against that they would be unable to find accommodation anywhere, then state intervention might be justified. But if, having been turned away from one guest house, there are in fact hundreds of other hotels and guest houses in the area perfectly willing to accept their custom, then it is difficult to argue that their freedoms have been taken away. It does seem draconian for the state to intervene in such circumstances and force guest house owners to abide by the moral rules it dictates are the correct ones. This is an issue, however, that lots of people really struggle to deal with rationally and intelligently. Now, obviously, some people are prejudiced against gay people, but equally, many people are prejudiced through having been indoctrinated to look favourably upon almost anything associated with homosexuality, for fear that not doing so will result in them being labelled as homophobic in some way. Consequently, millions of people will be unable or unwilling to discuss such a matter intelligently, because they refuse from the outset to so much as consider that it should be allowable to refuse customers on the grounds of their sexuality. On any argument related to homosexuality, they feel compelled to support, without qualification, whatever they perceive to be the pro-gay side of the argument. Not because it is right, but because of their own desperation to conform. Understand that this has nothing to do with whether they are right in their views. It has nothing to do with whether they are right to believe that businesses should never refuse people because they are gay. It has nothing to do with whether they are right to believe that it should be illegal for businesses to turn away customers on account of them being gay. But a person's view, whatever it is, will not be an intelligent one if they refuse to fairly consider any alternative views. So, we have a reasonably simple issue that is highlighted in the news every now and then, but which millions of people, possibly the majority of the population, are unable or unwilling to consider intelligently, because their minds are closed to any ideas or conclusions that do not seem to fit in with the attitudes they are expected to support and defend. They have effectively decided that fitting in with the politically correct position is more important to them than considering the issue maturely and intelligently. They have effectively decided not to be intelligent. They largely shut their rational brain functions down. It ought, for example, to be a simple distinction to understand that just because you don't think gay people should be discriminated against, it doesn't follow that you believe the heavy hand of the state should be involved in fining or threatening to imprison people who do discriminate against gay people. Yet try discussing this issue with people, and you'll often find they do indeed fail to appreciate or acknowledge such a simple distinction. That's how political correctness cripples people's brain functions. They shut down their brain functions to avoid accepting a perfectly reasonable distinction that ought to be easy to understand. They render themselves idiots in order to avoid accepting an unpopular opinion or an inappropriate viewpoint. Many people conform because they don't have the strength of character not to. Others, perhaps, just haven't yet got around to appreciating just how important it is to resist the temptation to conform. Many, unfortunately, just cannot conceive of living their lives in any other way than through surrendering to conformism. Pressure to conform affects some people's thinking on some topics more than others, but there are few, if any, topics not affected at all by conformism. Conformism, by its nature, can affect people's views on almost anything. Before, or even instead of thinking for themselves, they first look to assess what other people are thinking and what other people will find acceptable and appropriate. Fundamentally, they are not interested in intelligent discussion. Only in demonstrating their allegiance to the crowd they feel they belong to, and their willingness to conform to its rules and expectations. This dynamic all but wipes out the intelligent thinking capabilities of most of the population. That's the end of this episode. I hope you found it interesting. To find out more about my work, please visit imos.org.uk. That's imos.org.uk. And please join me again for the next episode. Thank you for listening.